radical left has taken over the Democratic Party.
Hello and welcome to Think Progressively, covering politics and all the other chaos life has to offer. This is episode 65, recorded on Friday, July 1st from Milwaukee. I'm Joe.
And I'm Jason.
And on today's episode, we find out that we picked a really bad week to take a break, and we're going to catch up on the recent decision to overturn Roe versus Wade. But first, the headlines.
The fact is that everything he's saying so far is simply a lie. I'm not here to call out his lies. Everybody knows he's a liar.
Up first, we need to talk about the insane surprise January 6th hearing that happened this last week. Jason, did you watch any of this? I hope you did. This was one of the good ones.
I don't think it was quite as mind-blowing. It didn't blow the roof off like they were saying when they announced this was a surprise hearing that was unscheduled. It was fine. I think it fits in with what they're doing, which is just setting up this larger narrative of exactly what went down and why Donald Trump was at the center of it. But I don't think this was so important. I think the making it a surprise hearing had more to do with some of the witness tampering,
which we'll talk about,
which they brought up at the end.
Yeah.
More than anything else. I think they just wanted to get this over with so that Cassidy Hutchinson could get on with her life,
right,
and stop being harassed.
Well, let's talk about the basics of this right now. So the person that was interviewed, or the main star of the show, was Cassidy Hutchinson. She is a former top staffer of Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows.
Special assistant.
She was in the room where it happened.
Which is literally the top aide.
Yes.
To the chief of staff of the president.
A couple of things that were revealed from her testimony. Number one, Trump and Meadows both knew very clearly that the crowd was armed and dangerous, and Trump explicitly said and requested to remove the metal detectors from his rally.
And she spun it as she thought he was trying to get the crowd size larger. And literally, if you go back and watch the speech that Trump gave, he mentions, oh, you can see hundreds of people out here, but what you can't see is there's thousands more on the sides. And I really wish we could let them all up. So if we can, just let them through here. And he's literally asking
while he's doing the speech
for that. Them to let those larger crowds of people in for his rally.
Even though they were armed.
Even though, yes, they knew 100% that they were armed. It had been pointed out, we have the police, what you call it, communications.
Yes.
When they're talking, pointing out, oh, here's an AR-15. Oh, this guy's got a handgun. There's a guy up in a tree with a gun, so you have to be aware of that. And you still have, I saw an interview just recently with Josh Holly saying, oh, there were no guns. That's a lie. So the police are liars now.
Apparently.
Which, I mean, I think that might be the only thing me and Josh Holly would ever agree on.
Well, and I think the quote was, they're not here for me.
Right. Just let them through. They're not here to hurt me.
Yeah, they're not here to hurt me. So bring them in here and then we'll send them to the Capitol. Or at least something to that extent.
And yeah, and more proof that Trump 100% had planned to go with the crowd to the Capitol. And again, for anyone doubting that, there is, again, the audio communication of the Secret Service asking the DC police to help them establish a route to the Capitol.
Right.
And they are told no, that that's not possible. The Capitol Police are being overrun at that very moment, and they're getting calls to help them. They don't have the manpower to assist the Secret Service with clearing a route to make sure the president and his mob gets a clear shot into the Capitol.
Well, and that was in our exchange with Cassidy and Trump counsel Pat Cipollone, where they were saying that they were going to go to the Capitol, and Pat literally says to them, do not bring the president to the Capitol. We will get charged with every law in the book.
Every crime.
Yeah, every crime in the book.
And that's, again, proof that they knew what the plan was.
Right.
That the plan was to bring an armed mob into the Capitol building and halt the election.
Also, how do you feel about the fact that he said he was going to march down with them and then immediately got into a car?
Well, I think that's his idea of marching. Like, don't get near me. I'm going to be in my armored car and we'll go down there and you break up the place. And then I'll follow.
And I do remember months ago when we were talking about this, there was still a lot of speculation on whether or not Trump actually believed in what was going on, and that he sent basically the riot to the Capitol, and he was kind of just smirking off in the background somewhere safe, knowing what he just did, and that he wasn't actually going to go to the Capitol himself. He didn't really care. He just wanted to cause chaos. What do you think it means that he actually truly believed that he should have been there with them? Do you think that makes it worse for him or better?
Well, it makes it worse as far as what do you think would have happened had he been there? I feel like there would have been even less resistance from the Capitol Police.
Oh, I'm
if
sure.
The president was literally with the crowd,
right.
There would have been way more of an attempt to just secure him to make sure he's safe and less focus on stopping them from doing whatever they were going to do. And then once he's inside there, who's going to stop him from going in, as no one actually stopped the rioters themselves?
Well, and what concerned me was that if Trump was walking into the Capitol building, the Capitol Police would be so preoccupied with protecting him, he would have walked straight into the House chambers and the people would have started grabbing people. And he really would have started the riot right then and there, and people would be start being hung, starting probably with Pence.
Didn't do what I wanted you to do, Mike.
Well, and that was another thing from the testimony where Hutchinson did say that, according to Mark Meadows at least, that Trump openly thought that Mike Pence deserved to be hung, and that he intentionally did not want to do anything to stop the rioting because he thought that he deserved it.
Right, that according to her, that's what Mark Meadows said.
Well, because Pat Cipollone, I think, even burst into the office at one point, according to the testimony, and even told Mark Meadows to go do something about it. And I think he pissed off Cipollone saying that the blood's on your effing hands if mm-hmm. something happens.
And the big headline that everyone's talking about is that when Trump got into his SUV,
and he was told no for the first time in his life,
to show the spoil rich brat that he is, that he freaked out and allegedly lunged for the steering wheel and then tried to choke the Secret Service driver. Yeah, I mean, that's being disputed, apparently.
It is, so...
But it's not that Cassidy said she was there and witnessed it. She said that's what she heard after the fact.
I believe from, was it Tony Ortega? I think that was...
Ornato.
Ornato, thank you. Where Hutchinson said that Ornato brought her into the room, asked her what happened, and then explained to her the story. So she's just saying that she was told the story, and she made that very clear.
Right.
Ornato says none of that happened. He didn't say anything that like that to her. He didn't hear about anything like that happening. However, there's also lots of speculation around Ornato saying that he is actually a Trump sycophant who has been known to lie explicitly for him multiple times.
There's been multiple people that have come forward saying that Tony Ornato specifically lied about events that they were a witness to.
Yes.
And he was a Secret Service agent
that became
a Trump administration official.
Yes.
And now has gone back to the Secret Service.
Yes.
And that is wholly unprecedented, that as a Secret Service agent, you do not get hired by the person you're protecting.
Well, I think it's just kind of crazy. I don't know how much of it you've seen, but the stretches that the right wing are making right now to try to discredit Hutchinson's testimony.
Right. And like, that's the big thing. Like, did he lunge at the steering wheel? Who cares? That's not even the most important part.
Right.
I don't care if that story is exaggerated or false. That doesn't even make any difference.
Right.
It's something that you could totally see a spoiled rich brat do, and especially the throwing his food at the wall and making somebody else clean it up. I'm sure that's happened multiple times in Donald Trump's life.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's not as important as the fact that they were alerted to the crowd having weapons and then tried to have those people with weapons let in anyway.
Yep.
And lead them to the Capitol. That's the important part.
100%. And then one of the big last ones before the witness tampering was Hutchinson was asked explicitly if Giuliani and Meadows expressed interest in presidential pardons, and she said yes to both of them, which I thought was pretty good. At least you got someone on record now officially saying that people were asking for pardons after what happened on January 6th.
And as we said in the beginning, they closed with evidence of witness tampering and witness intimidation, which that is what the mob does.
So a quote from an article we'll link in the show notes. A person let me know you have your deposition tomorrow. He wants me to let you know that he's thinking about you. He isn't Donald Trump. He knows you're loyal and you're going to do the right thing when you go in for your deposition. And the sources then say, which we found out, which was Hutchinson. And they reminded me a couple of times that Trump does read transcripts. And just to keep in mind, as I proceeded through my depositions and interviews with the committee, Smitty.
And there was clarification from his former lawyer saying, actually, he doesn't read the transcripts. Someone else reads the transcripts and then gives him the highlights.
Well, and even then, what transcripts? What transcripts is he getting?
Well, they would mean from the testimony.
But they made that before the transcripts were available. So it's like...
Right, but they're saying whatever you say is going to get back to him.
Well,
our friend.
No shit.
To be like the
public
mob term. Our friend is going to find out whether or not you're really loyal. It's a nice deposition you have here. It'd be a shame if something happened to it.
Ugh. Garbage people, all of them. And I want to make something very clear, too. Obviously, now that Hutchinson testified against Trump.
And changed lawyers before she did.
And changed lawyers because...
Which they made a big deal like that was suspicious. No, that's because that's your lawyer that she got rid of.
Right.
Because as soon as she turns on you, that lawyer is not going to protect her anymore.
Right, exactly. I do not like all this rhetoric about how she's like this crazy, awesome hero now, either. I think what she did was incredibly brave. I'm very happy she did it.
Yeah, she's just like Liz Cheney. Terrible on 99%.
I was getting closer to Bill Barr.
Of her opinions. And then just on this one thing.
Right.
Was not as terrible.
Well, again, that's why I said I think she's closer to Bill Barr. Because she clearly saw all the things that were going on. And she was perfectly fine with it until when it got this bad. But everything else, she was totally fine with.
Right. Once she could actually be held accountable for what was going on.
Right. Exactly. So I don't like the rhetoric that she's like this crazy, great American patriotic hero. She's
it took one woman to stand up to all these men. Yeah, that's it's a terrible narrative.
So, but nonetheless, I'm glad that it happened. I'm glad that it's out there. I think that rejuvenated the interest in the January 6th hearings. So even if it wasn't intended to be a surprise hearing for like dramatic effect, I think it worked that way. We'll see what we get in July.
And I want to give a quick update on our own Wisconsin part of this coup attempt. In the form of Ron Johnson.
The guy who pretends to be on the phone when he's not.
That he was named in a previous hearing as being someone who attempted to give Mike Pence the slate of false electors for Wisconsin and Michigan.
Yep.
He completely denied this initially and it pretended to be on his phone when reporters were questioning him. And it was the greatest, though. The reporter was like, I can see your screen.
Phone, yeah.
You're not on the phone. You're lying.
And then he loses it. All right, you got me. And he does the interview.
He like fake tried to like, I'm hanging up now. You look like an even bigger idiot after that.
At that point, you got to commit. Get in the car, man. What are you doing?
He asked for reporters to just leave him alone. Just leave me alone. This is nothing. This is a nothing story.
Well, first he blamed it on the intern. I actually have
that quote.
Yeah.
He said,
go ahead.
We didn't know, literally don't. It was staff to staff. Somebody from the House, some staff intern said, the vice president needs this or whatever. I wasn't involved. I don't know what they said. That was his initial response.
Which is 100% not true.
We don't even know where it came from. I wasn't involved at all. It was some intern.
Which also, I don't know if you saw this, but this is what Monica Lewinsky does now. But she tweeted out, dude, learn from me. Don't blame the intern.
Yeah, now I'm just picturing all sorts of things and Ron Johnson. It's not. Good. That is not a good image. Then the next day, he changed his story to try to place the blame on Pennsylvania Rep. Mike Kelly, who might still be involved in this, by the way. And his response there was, and we found out now this came from Pennsylvania Congressman Mike Kelly's office, so we couldn't even remember who delivered this to us. Odd. That you couldn't even remember that, but now you figured it out. Kelly's office, for their part, denied it, saying Senator Johnson's statements about Representative Kelly are patently false.
I love the infighting.
Mr. Kelly has not spoken to Senator Johnson for the better part of a decade. And he has no knowledge of the claims Mr. Johnson is making related to the 2020 election.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I think they're both lying, obviously.
Which is the best part, right?
Because I don't think you just picked this guy's name out of a hat. Right. But now, text messages that were sent to a conservative website have shown that Ron Johnson himself was in communication with Dane County Attorney Jim Troupas, who was the one that was going to be providing the false electric documents. Johnson then directed Troupas to his chief of staff, who was the one that was messaging Pence's chief of staff in that text message that they displayed. One thing I think is important is they have more of that text message where it gets cut off at the January 6th hearing. They have actually more of it. It's called Just the News. It's a terrible conservative website. I wouldn't suggest going there. And they try to spin this off as like, well, Ron Johnson's telling the truth, even though they're providing evidence that he's 100% lying. So I don't even know how they're trying to spin this, because it doesn't even make any sense. And these are the texts between Johnson's chief of staff and Pence's chief of staff. So what you saw during the January 6th was, you know, Johnson needs to hand something to V. POTUS. Please advise. What is it? Alternate slate of electors, because the archivist didn't receive them. And then the response was, do not give that to him. Right. And that's where it cut off.
Yep.
The rest of the text says he's about to walk over to preside over the joint session. Those were supposed to come in through the mail. So it's not that Mike Pence was so against this and is so innocent in this. He knew that they were going to be sending him the fake electors.
But there's a bureaucratic process in place.
Right.
That is what government is for, Jason. We can't be bureaucrats in government. Where can we be bureaucrats?
Right. It literally, their objection was on a security standpoint that you cannot just walk up to him and give him an envelope, anything. It could be a bomb. They're literally worried about his life because they know everything that's going on. And that Donald Trump wants him to die. So they're just concerned that, no, you're not going to just walk up to him and hand him an envelope. That's not going to happen. You were supposed to mail that in, and that gets checked by security. So that was the sticking point. And that's how they're like, oh, see, they didn't even show you the whole thing. Well, that's a whole other issue.
Okay, that's not good either. That doesn't help the case.
And then they literally have the text between Jim Troupas and Ron Johnson, where Ron Johnson says he puts Sean Riley, his chief of staff, the person that was sending those texts, in the chat, said, Jim Troupas, meet Sean Riley, my new chief of staff. And then something is redacted out of there. I guess we can't see everything either. Just like the January 6th committee, they must be hiding something, right? And then he gets a thank you, Jim. And then the final message that Ron Johnson says is, we have been informed the VP cannot accept any unsealed mail, and I cannot hand it to him. Oh, I didn't know anything about it. It was just staff to staff. I don't know. We got this from Mike Kelly's office. It wasn't us.
What would have been
100%? He knew about this and was in contact with the person that was providing the information.
So that text bubble is smaller than the thank you, Jim text. So what could have been written in that tiny little thing that would have had to be redacted? Like, did he just like, maybe confidential information?
Maybe it's a dick pic.
Oh.
But yeah, the only thing in question at this point is some people speculate that Mike Kelly's office told Jim Troupas to contact Ron Johnson.
Yep.
That's it. And that's the only thing that we don't know. And of course, like I said, the conservative website is spinning that as Ron Johnson is 100% telling the truth about everything. Not the case. He was involved. He knew everything that was going on. He's lying to everyone when he says he doesn't know, or it was just someone on his staff. He didn't know where it was coming from. He didn't know what it was. He 100% knew. And he is lying about it openly to your face. And you need to vote him out in November. So let's move to, we're going to have an abbreviated episode because we do have the 4th of July weekend coming up, and I really don't want to spend one of those days editing an episode, so we're going to try to make this quick. I know there's a lot of news going on. We're going to spend the episode next week just talking about Supreme Court decisions, but we cannot ignore the big stinky elephant wearing a Supreme Court robe in the room, so we have to talk about the Roe versus Wade decision that was handed down last Friday.
That was really a productive segment, wasn't it? It's hard to get any word in with this clown.
And we're not going to do a super crazy detailed analysis. We're not lawyers. We're not legal experts. And actually, a lot of people have done extremely good breakdowns of the decision already. Good news is, if you actually saw anything about the leaked transcript or the leaked opinion, it's basically the same. There are very few changes that were made to it. Not much actually changed from one or the other. And actually, I'll link a podcast episode from Strict Scrutiny, which I highly recommend. It's a great legal podcast. They did a fantastic breakdown of it. So if you want to learn more about the legal breakdown of the decision, check them out.
That's the crooked one, correct?
That is crooked.
Yeah, I watched that one. Very good.
Yeah. Also recommend opening arguments one, too. Very good. But let's quickly talk about the decision itself. It's bad. It's really bad.
They overturned Roe v. Wade.
They overturned Roe v. Wade.
And something that has been talked about for my entire life.
And I think what drives me crazy is we are officially in the era of
The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes. We are officially in the era, and when it comes to these legal things go, nothing doesn't matter. We are in the official world of alternative facts for the Supreme Court. Everything's up for debate now. There is no precedent. Nothing freaking matters.
There's no consistency, as we will talk about a lot next week in their rulings. It's however they want to interpret. Originalism just means
what they want.
The outcome that we want.
Now, and we're not going to get into it, but they also just had a slew of really bad decisions, one of which was the recent EPA ruling. I don't know if you saw Sotomayor's dissent in that one, where she said, at so-and-so university, as part of some talk series, I gave a speech about how everyone in the Supreme Court is actually a textualist. Originalist, it's the same thing. I was 100% in the wrong, apparently. In her actual Supreme Court dissent, that she just 100% says that apparently originalism and textualism means whatever we want it to mean now. So there's no such thing as any coherent message of textualism or originalism anymore.
And it has been said 1,000 times during all of their interviews for the Supreme Court in front of Congress, their confirmations, everyone put their fingers crossed behind their backs and said, oh, Roe is decided precedent.
I care about precedent. I care about stare decisis.
And we all knew they were lying, except for Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, apparently.
Well, did you see she was shocked?
She's perpetually shocked when her own party lies to her all the time about everything.
Oh my God. So we had the chance to go over, you guys. Screwed it up. But I just really want to hit home. And again, we're not doing a deep dive. Listen to Strict Scrutiny. But
yeah, what she said.
Really, really, really just want to make it clear how poorly argued this majority opinion was. There's no legal basis to this. They did not create a new plan on their own. They actually created a whole cloth, this idea of historical, like, traditionalism in legal speak now.
Right. It didn't happen before the Civil War, it didn't happen.
Well, right, basically, where now anything we consider a right, as long as it wasn't always protected by our Constitution throughout the 1800s and beyond, it's not worth actually having in our Constitution.
Back when an entire race of people and an entire gender were property.
Well, that's literally
what... If you didn't have rights back then, you still don't have rights. So that means we go back to, as we've said many times, rich, white, land. Owning men.
Yes, that's literally what the hosts of Strict Scrutiny say. They say this was back in a time where it was only white men were allowed to vote. And that's the real danger of this. There is no coherent message to this whole thing. We're going to talk about some of the consequences of this decision, but the biggest thing right now is that there is no actual end in sight for this. This is just the beginning, which is scary enough because this was supposed to be the end point, right? This is the ultimate goal, overturn Roe, and it's not. Because the way Alito wrote his decision, it nixes a whole slew of other prime decisions that are based on the 14th Amendment.
Which is exactly the criticism that came out after the leaked draft.
Yes.
And their response to that is to just say, no, it doesn't.
Well, literally, that's what it is. Alito acknowledges this stuff in his opinion, and he says the differences between something like contraception and gay marriage is that it doesn't affect, quote, potential life. He uses this phrase of potential life all throughout his opinion, where he's not calling them person yet. We'll see what happens soon, because I'm sure we're going to call them persons very, very soon as far as fetuses go. But this idea of potential life happens where now it doesn't matter when things begin, as long as something has the potential to create life.
Which contraception 100% falls under that.
Exactly. And since it wasn't always protected, it's now in opposition to this historical protection of the Constitution.
And you literally have Clarence Thomas from the back yelling,
we're going to do this.
It totally does mean that what they say it means. means, because I'm going to make sure it does.
Well, so let's talk about that then. So while this was going on, you had Alito explicitly saying, well, no, we're not going to overturn Obergefell, the one about same-sex marriage. We're not going to overturn Griswold, the 1965 ruling about contraceptives, because for some reason they don't kill babies. Thomas wrote a concurring opinion that says, no, actually, all these are really bad and really erroneous.
And we should take a look at them.
Right. And then we should reconsider all of these decisions.
And he directly mentions Griswold versus Connecticut.
Yep.
Which is the contraception. Married couples are allowed to obtain contraception. So that is now in question. Like, you can't even argue that it's not. You have a Supreme Court justice saying, we need to look at this decision. It was wrong.
Yep.
Lawrence versus Texas, the 2003 ruling, which established the right to engage in private sexual acts. So any privacy in the bedroom, you know, there's sodomy laws.
I was just going to say that.
Texas
yep.
has the Attorney General of Texas has already said that he would be willing to outlaw sodomy in Texas if the Supreme Court takes a look at that ruling, which Clarence Thomas says they should, but they're totally not going to. Bullshit.
Yes.
And Obergefell versus Hodges, that's the one that we should be most familiar with, just happened a few years ago. That is the ruling that established same-sex marriage. They're 100% going to overturn same-sex marriage rights in America in probably 2023. I don't think they'll do it as quickly as October.
No, they won't.
Because of the midterms. But after that, who knows? He, for some reason, specifically left out Loving versus Virginia. I'm not sure why. That would also fall under the exact same category
yep.
as all of these other decisions, which he said were wrong. And Loving versus Virginia is the interracial marriage rights ruling. And Clarence Thomas is married to a white woman, and he's black. So I wonder why he left that one out.
I also want to make that clear. We all have Republicans on record saying that they want to overturn Loving v. Virginia as well.
It should be up to the states.
Which is crazy!
And that is literally, if you think it should be up to the states to decide if a woman can or cannot have the say over whether or not she is going to bear a child. You should then, like, it should be consistent for you to say that states should be able to decide whether or not interracial marriage is legal. And then you should realize that you are a horrible person. And that's why we have federal laws, is to protect all of us from people like you.
Well, and that's what drives me freaking insane. I'm so done with this ideology, obviously Republican and conservative ideology, that everything has to be left up to the states. There are great examples of things that can be left up to the states and things that should be left up to federal laws.
And rights.
Human rights. Are supposed to be universal. That's the point. If we can't decide on where rights are being given and not being given, and everything has to be left to the states, we are not a United States of America. Why are we a country then? We should be separate countries at
that
point.
That's what Texas wants.
Literally. And actually, that's in their platform now, where they have plans to secede in the Republican platform. What's the point of this entire ideology of pushing everything rights-wise to the states, and we are still a country after that? There's zero point to it. Now, there has been a lot of concern over whether or not someone can be banned from traveling on that same topic. So, for example,
and Missouri is already trying.
I was just going to bring that up. So, Missouri is already trying to, because they have a very, very, very strict abortion ban, and they're trying to not only do that, but ban people from traveling outside of Missouri to gain an abortion.
Which is literally against the Constitution, but with our current Supreme Court, who knows how they'll interpret it.
So, that brings me to Kavanaugh's opinion, where he explicitly references and says that that should not be passing, and that if that would ever come to the Supreme Court, that probably wouldn't actually work because of the, like you said, the constitutional right to travel among states. We are a United States. I could not imagine having a United States of America where states are forbidden to travel to other states for bodily autonomy issues.
But hear me out. What if a private citizen were to sue you for some kind of bounty for you going to a different state to get an abortion? That sounds like that might just work. Because then you don't involve the government, you just involve every single ignorant hick redneck.
And create a vigilante system.
There is no end to this.
The last opinion I think we should talk about, obviously, if you can read the dissent, it's very, very well done. We're not going to talk about it because we already agree with it. I bet you can guess what it says. But the last opinion
if
I want...
If it's not just screaming, right? The sounds of furniture breaking.
It was the legal version of just screaming an opinion. That's literally what it was. But the last opinion I want to talk about is Chief Justice John Roberts' opinion. John Roberts is an ultra-conservative, super conservative justice, but pales in comparison to the five justices that are far, far to the right of him.
John Roberts is supposed to be the Chief Justice, the most respected member, the most senior member, and you have Alito taking shots at him in the majority opinion.
Yes.
And basically saying that he sucks and is irrelevant.
Well, and that's what his opinion was all about. The whole point of Roberts' opinion was supposed to say that, you guys, I get it. I was going to overturn it with you, but we have to do this incrementally so it looks good.
And we were just going to let Mississippi ban abortion up to 6 weeks. We weren't going to overturn the whole thing yet. You remember the plan that I told you before when we were eating lunch? And you guys were like, oh, that sounds great, John. And then you just did the other thing? Come on, guys.
And that's why I want to make this also very clear. The Chief Justice doesn't matter anymore. So when we talk about how bad the court is, Alito, Thomas, Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, and Amy Coney Barrett are so out of their freaking minds that they will do whatever they want and they'll burn the whole thing to the ground to get exactly what they want, which is a literal Christian theocracy.
And we are going to get into what we think should be done about it, but I don't want to do that today. We're going to save that for next week because this isn't even the only horrendous, horrible, destroying precedent, making up laws, what they used to call it, judicial activism.
Yep.
Activision.
Activision.
Judicial activism, legislating from the bench. It used to be the thing that conservatives would constantly crow about, and now it's their number one pastime. But instead, I want to talk about, because we live in Wisconsin, Wisconsin's trigger law became effective immediately as soon as this decision came down.
Yes.
Abortion is now illegal in Wisconsin.
Yes.
So I want to talk, instead of what we need to do in the near future with the Supreme Court, I want to talk about what can people who are pregnant, who need abortion services, what can they do right now if they live in Wisconsin?
So I was actually in a couple of different summits listening to the Planned Parenthood Wisconsin group talk about this exact issue. Long story short, it's a mess. It legitimately is a huge mess. No one knows what to go on. And it's just kind of chaos right now. Medical professionals don't know where they should be drawing the line because the 1849 ruling for Wisconsin,
pre-Civil War,
right, has absolutely no nuance to it. So they don't know what's supposed to mean and how it's supposed to mean in modern day language, especially on the fact that we have existing law that completely contradicts it because they just left that law in the books when Roe was overturned. They never actually overturned the 1849 abortion ban because they just deemed that it was just bad law at that point.
And despite the governor calling a special session of the legislature to do just that, and instead they did nothing and ended the meeting immediately, as they always do, because our legislature is completely corrupt and an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was there. I could tell you for a fact, all the Democrats were there. There was one Republican, one there to gavel in and gavel out. Robin Voss wasn't even there.
Sure, he was busy selling popcorn.
I'm sure he was. So as of right now, you cannot get an abortion in Wisconsin. Plain and simple. We'll talk about the lawsuit that Josh Call, our attorney general, issued a little bit. But for right now, I want to talk about what's going on with the law itself. According to Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, people who want to still seek an abortion can leave the state to go to either Minnesota or Illinois if they want to obtain one. Their number one rule is, not rule, but piece of advice is, get on lists now because those wait lines are going to be way longer than usual. Apparently, Illinois stuff already has some pretty decent wait lines before Roe was overturned, and now they're expecting even worse wait lines. When it comes to medication for abortion, Wisconsin actually already had strict regulations on receiving abortion medication. So already before pre-Roe, it was pretty well established in Wisconsin that you cannot receive abortion medication via mail or telehealth services.
And these are pills.
These are pills.
And that's how the majority of abortions are done.
Yes. And actually, a lot of them are done by mail, especially now that you can buy them online. And fun fact, by the way, for those who are not saying that Joe Biden is doing enough, as soon as Roe v. Wade was overturned, he immediately signed an executive order to try to protect the federal mailing of abortion medications as much as he could. That doesn't matter in Wisconsin because we already had the law in place. So if you're going to obtain abortion medication, you have to obtain it outside of the state. In Minnesota, there are special rules in place where if you're going to get an an abortion, you actually have to go through at least one counseling session with them, and you actually have to do it in person and then come back a separate time to get the abortion. Illinois, you can kind of just do it, which is kind of nice. So if you can, I'd recommend Illinois way more than I would Minnesota, but you pick what you got, right?
So in that scenario, you'd be traveling down to Illinois, staying with someone, staying at a hotel, and then contacting a clinic from there, correct?
Yes. So, well, technically, you actually wouldn't have to contact them out of the state. You can contact them in the state. You just can't have the abortion done here.
You can't have the medication sent to Wisconsin.
I'm talking about either medication or in-person abortions.
Right, right. Yes. But specifically, you were saying if you can't, in Minnesota, you need to actually go to the clinic.
Yes.
To get two different appointments.
Yep.
In Illinois, it sounds like they'll mail it to you?
No, you still, well, they would mail it to you, but...
But you would have to actually do it from inside Illinois, not yes. from inside Wisconsin.
Exactly. So you still have to go there anyway. Fun fact about this type of services, you cannot be prosecuted under current Wisconsin law. Who knows what will happen in the future, right? Make sure you vote for Tony Evers in the midterms. An abortion provider will get charged with a felony if they provide an abortion in the state of Wisconsin. The abortion seeker would not. So, and it's the same thing if you try to find it out of state, you would not be prosecuted as someone trying to seek an abortion out of the state of Wisconsin. Also, fun fact, you actually can get medication mailed to you in Wisconsin if you buy from an international provider. According to Wisconsin laws, it does not count for, or it doesn't account for...
They can't do anything.
Overseas providers. So they literally can't do anything about it.
Yeah, they can't prosecute.
So they can physically mail it to you if you buy from an overseas provider.
And I would suggest getting it shipped via U.S. Post Office, because it is not legal for the police to search U.S. Post Office vehicles or look at your mail. It's a federal offense. So, UPS, FedEx, they don't have those same protections.
So those are kind of the biggest things right now for abortions. However, if you still want to get contraception and things like that, Planned Parenthood clinics are still working and open as usual in Wisconsin. They're just not providing abortion services. If you do reach out to Planned Parenthood, which they highly recommend before you do anything else, they will give you as many resources as you need to figure out what's best for you to obtain an abortion. So we'll leave actually that link down in the show notes for anyone who needs it. But as of right now, that's what happens for people in Wisconsin. You have to go out of state.
And we never tell you to give us any money because, I mean, we know what kind of content we're providing. But if you do have some money that you would like to give, I would point you to one of two different charities. One is Keep Our Clinics, which is keepourclinics.org. And the other is the National Network of Abortion Funds, abortionfunds.org.
And for also just as a reference, I don't think so. I could be wrong. There's been a lot of talk about like, if anyone needs a trip to go camping, go to these states. Or if you need to go camping, I'll drive you. Things like that. I think in Wisconsin, there's no need for that type of like coverage language. Again, there's no reason why you're not like, you can't be banned from going out of state to obtain an abortion in Wisconsin. So you actually can't even be open about it. That's okay, as long as the abortion is not provided in the state itself. But do what you can. Try to donate to any of these organizations. Still donate to Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. We're going to try to do something. There is the lawsuit that Tony Evers and Josh Call showed to overturn the 1849 rule. We'll see what happens. I mean, the whole point of that lawsuit is the fact that other law exists after it was already kind of shown to not work once Roe v. Wade took place.
Right. There's other language that restricts abortion based on Roe v. Wade, which would seem to supersede the other ban. So yeah, it's up for the courts to decide. Obviously in Wisconsin, we do have a conservative majority Supreme Court. It is a narrow majority and that could possibly change in April, but that's still a ways off at this point.
Right. So just most likely you're going to see that was actually filed in Dane County Circuit Court by Josh Call,
which is where Madison is located. Very liberal part.
So
of the
my
state.
Guess is that it will then overturn the 1849 rule. Republicans will then immediately appeal that and it'll eventually get up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And it's all going to be based on Justice Brian Hagedorn, who's basically our version of Neil Gorsuch over here, where he's so originalist to the point where he actually finds himself in good positions and opinions sometimes. So, but I'm going to be honest again, he goes on traditionalist ideas. So he's probably going to pick the latter of the two the former of the two. So don't count for this rule to be overturned.
Might get a temporary injunction and some services to resume in the meantime, but I wouldn't expect that to last.
Exactly. And knowing our court, they'll probably fast track it to avoid that from happening. It's not great, you guys. This is really bad. You know, I... every week it's a doom and gloom type of podcast, but
we were right, goddammit.
Yeah, you should have voted for Hillary Clinton. I'm sorry. Like,
well, that's,
there's consequences to elections, yeah. And this is it.
That's one thing that I see brought up a lot is like, well, this is why we shouldn't vote. This is why I don't vote. This is why voting doesn't matter. Those justices are only there because of the results of an election. If Donald Trump did not win, we would have an overwhelming liberal majority Supreme Court.
Yep.
So yes, voting really, really does matter. And once again, the difference between Mitt Romney and John McCain, who lost their election to Barack Obama, and Donald Trump, who got the exact same amount of votes that they did, is that not enough people came out to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
That's the only reason. It wasn't the Republican votes. The Republican votes stayed the same. It was the Democrat votes. And yes, she was a terrible candidate. Agreed. I still voted for her.
Same here, man.
And yes, Joe Biden was a terrible candidate too, and he's still proving that every day.
Yep.
Still voted for him. I hope he doesn't run in 2024, but you know what? If he does, I'm still going to vote for him.
Yep.
And that's because I don't want Ron DeSantis or Donald Trump once again to be the president.
Well, and exactly, because the whole point is, if there is a Republican president, and most likely the Republicans are going to take back the House and potentially the Senate again in 2022, if we don't get our asses out there, you're going to see a full-on federal abortion ban after 2024. You will.
They're already talking about it.
Mike Pence already explicitly says that's the next step in the process for them.
And if you want to complain about the candidate, people need to vote in the primary. Why is Joe Biden the president? Because he beat Bernie Sanders in the primary. That's the reason.
Mm-hmm.
You can come up with every stupid conspiracy theory you want, but the reality of the situation is that more people wanted Joe Biden to be the Democratic nominee than wanted Bernie Sanders to be. I don't agree with it either, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
So just like Donald Trump, you need to get it through your head. Joe Biden won the stupid election.
Check out these links. Check out the Strict Scrutiny podcast for more information about how bad that decision was. And please, if you can, give to any of these great organizations and funds to help people get the abortions they need and get the health care that they need. We got to do something, you guys. And if we don't, we're going to see even worse outcomes in the very, very near future. Thank you for listening. We hope to see you in the next episode. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at ThinkProPod. You can email us at thinkpropod@gmail.com. And remember, when in doubt, think progressively.